Hi, everybody. Thank you for coming. I just want to say a few things I want to say. This is a big honor for me personally to be a part of this. My time with the Orioles did not overlap with Adam's, but because of that, it was very evident to me the importance of his tenure with the franchise, the impact that he left on this city, and in the players, a lot of the players in that locker room, just hearing so much about it secondhand in my first couple of years here, it was really clear to me that this was a guy that made a real impact in this place. And so I think it's particularly cool for me and for him and for us to have this day right now in a very strong period of time for the Orioles franchise. You know, we've got a team that's fighting to defend first place in the American League East tonight. We've got a booming minor league system. And we've got people like this, legends from the past around this team that come and go, that visit Camden Yards on a regular and irregular basis. And, you know, to have Adam be cemented as one of those guys that's part of the special family around here in a formal way is a really big deal for us. And the timing couldn't be better with everything going on the field and behind the scenes with the team. So you know, it's perfect that he's here tonight. I think it's going to be a great crowd and a great atmosphere and a great celebration of somebody who had a tremendous career and who was the face of the last great era of Orioles baseball. And now I'm very confident in saying we're into another one. So to have him here for that's also important from my perspective as well. It's also not very often you get to sign a player that is a five-time All-Star, four-time Gold Glove winner, three-time Most Valuable Oriole, and top five or ten in a lot of statistical categories in this storied franchise's record book. So I don't need to be the one to tell you guys what a great player he was. I think the most striking thing for me with Adam, you know, wanting to retire from baseball as an Oriole forever is that, you know, he wasn't drafted by this organization. He didn't start his major league career here. He didn't finish his major league career here, technically. So he's choosing, you know, this place as his home. This is this place meant a lot to him, and he's kind of an adopted son in a lot of ways for the city. And it shows the way that, you know, people who aren't from here can be drawn in. So, you know, we really appreciate everything that he has done, and he's going to do even more going forward. And we're just so excited that Adam Jones will be here as much as possible. So today we're going to be signing Adam to what is hopefully your final professional contract as a player.
Yes.
but welcoming him as a permanent member of Orioles history and Orioles franchise. And I'm really hoping you'll be around a lot and to help me and Brandon and these players take the next step. So without further ado, I'll give him his cap and jersey like any signee, and then let him say a few words to all of you. So thank you.
It's been a while. So
yep. Give you the same advice I give everybody. Just do one button. That's all you need. Still fit?
Oh, this is that's
the original right there.
No, it isn't. I'm just trying to help you. This is like a 48, 44, 46, something like that. Something, definitely not this one.
All right. Oh, we have to sign.
Oh, we got to sign.
Trade you.
I mean, I'm glad this day. I'm glad this day has finally came. We were discussing it, obviously, this summer. I've been with my wife, Audie, Ms. Grandall, who's the orchestrator of a lot of these great events that's going on in Baltimore right now. And, you know, I just felt that going out, walking out of the game, obviously, it was great to be able to do it on my own in Japan. But I'm not a Buffalo. I had a great time in Japan. I think it shaped me and my family for the future. Opened our eyes to that, to show us how beautiful and big the world is. And as you guys know through social media, if you follow us, how, you know, we just see the world. But Baltimore is a special part in my heart. I still consistently watch Orioles games everywhere I was at, even in Japan. It's just something that is ingrained to me. Obviously, I'm from San Diego, so there's obviously still traditions I don't like about Baltimore, like the burger cookies. Not a big fan of those. My mother-in-law brought some back from here to Spain a couple weeks ago and didn't touch them. But I adopted this city. Obviously, my wife's from here. Our kids were born here. And, you know, we owned real estate here, but we put our stamp here with the Boys and Girls Club, with the YMCA, and with various other groups. But it was more with the people of Baltimore. There's so many people here that know me, and not just from baseball. They know me in some context or something. Like, we went to the wine merchant today, and the guy knows my order. And, like, it's the comfortability. This is a city where I don't have to use navigation. Opposed to other cities, you say something, I know where it's at. It is my second home. And I just wanted to show my kids this also, because the last thing they really seen me is being a ramen-eating Japanese player. And now they get to see this and see how their lives have been shaped based on rocking the black and orange. And I'm forever grateful. Obviously, there's so many people to thank. It's impossible to thank everybody. Obviously, I had to start with my beautiful wife, who puts up with me on a constant basis. My agency, CAA. Nick Gagliano's here. Eric Hinsky introduced us in 2008. And what did he say?
Terrible.
So it's been a great run with Nick. And everybody, my mom, it's the two-year anniversary of her passing, so it's a memorable day for her. And she's raining down, watching over the O's right now, telling them to clean it up right now and get back after it and get back on the winning side, because she was avid and watched every game. So my stepdad is here on behalf. You will hear him in the stands screaming. He would not be sitting with us, because he gets crazy. My brother, my cousin, aunts, family, and friends who are going to be here tonight. It's just a special, special thing. And I'm just glad that it all worked out. My final time putting on a jersey will be here. And I'm just forever grateful for what Baltimore has taught me. And, you know, I'll be forever grateful. And I'm just glad that I'll always be welcomed in this city. People here really appreciated the way I carried myself, played the game, and gave back. So I just want to thank the Orioles, the Angelos family, Sir Elias, Hyde, all the players who were able to still communicate. And to you guys, to the reporters, who made you guys made my job easy also. You guys were very fair. You asked the questions. Dan was the toughest one in the room. I'll give him that honor. You know, but you guys made my job very easy, and hopefully I made your job easy. I know there's times where I probably was an ass, mainly to Dan, but hopefully you guys made. I mean, you guys made my job easy, and hopefully I made you guys' job easy. And it was a perfect marriage for me being here this long, and I'm just glad that I was able to go out this way, and my kids were able to see it, and hopefully they relished it and say, you know, Daddy's cool instead of just a golfer.
They want you to play tonight.
Oh, no. No. But no, it's just from the bottom of my heart. I just want to thank Birdland for just embracing me for all these years. And I'm forever grateful.
Thank you, Adam. We will now open it up to questions.
What does it mean to you? This ballpark's going to be packed tonight, mm-hmm. not just because this is a big series. This, when word got out, this is going to be about you. Place sold out. So obviously they still really embrace you.
It's huge. My brother-in-law frequents the stadium all the time, and he sends me pictures all the time of people still wearing number 10 jerseys. Even people in different cities on the road, the 10 is still a strong number here. People still respect what I've done. And, you know,
You know, when I first got here, the mission was to play as many games as I could, as hard as I could, as long as I could. I was able to fulfill that, and I just think that people respect that. And that was the easiest thing to do, was to play. You know, the hardest thing to do was to manage the other stuff. But the easiest thing to do was to show up here every day and put on the uniform, strap it on, and get after it.
Adam, does this team remind you of the 2012 team, you know, the first team that was...
In a way, you're going to hate this, but this team reminds me of the 14 Royals. You know what I mean? I hate saying that. It burns my damn soul to say that. But they are athletic. They put the ball in play. Like, I was watching the game last night, and Frazier just put the ball in play, get a force out. I know they lost the game last night, but by putting the ball in play, making contact with speed and athleticism, they are, you know, they extend innings, and they are given chances. Hitting .290, .290 with men in scoring position, like, that is a tribute to the athleticism and them extending innings and giving the next guy an opportunity. Because it's easy to dog it down the line, but every night I watch guys 1-9 play the game hard. And, you know, when you put the ball in play, play hard, steal bases, make the defense makes errors, good things happen. And that's what they're doing. They've been doing that for the last 2 years.
Adam, you were always so respectful of pass breaks and came back. And now to think that you are that guy, like Mike was saying, to a lot of these generation Royals players, what is that like for you?
Well, it's just part of getting older, you know. You turn the page. I remember asking Jim Tomei about that in 2012, is when do you know it's your time? My body told me, and he told me, Father Time will let you know. And, you know, I read some quotes from Cedric, Santander, and Hayes, and those were really awesome because obviously we didn't have the most time with each other because I was on my way out, they were on their way in. But the time that we did have together, I tried to make sure that I let them know how to manage this major league life, how to manage playing here in Baltimore, and, you know, being a major leaguer, because everybody thinks it's easy, but it's only 750, or is it now 780 within the major leagues at any given moment. So it's a really tough lifestyle to manage, and I just try to be those guys' big brothers. And now, you know, you go to some of these places and they be like, "What's up, man? How you doing, OG?" Like, I tell my kids that I'm an OG. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it's just humbling that you're still able to go in these clubhouses and that these kids still remember you. You know, I know like the older generation, like the Millars, and you know that generation 10 years prior to me, those guys are getting forgotten about a little bit. But it's cool that this generation still remembers, and I'm gonna keep tweeting at these guys so that they don't forget me. Keep your social media, you know.
Adam, Manny was such a big part of your time here. Mm-hmm. How much do you still give him grief about the catch in San Diego in the WBC?
Never about that, but no, I talk to him all the time. I make sure I try to keep his head on straight. I know he's having a tough year this year, but they have a hell of a team over there and in a hell of a city. And next year, unfortunately, they'll have to give hopes for next year. But, no, I keep in contact with him. We talk weekly and try to keep it light. I know he's a very busy man, and just try to make sure that he knows that I'm always in his corner. I have a radio station I do in San Diego once a week, and I always give him his flowers. But I love the way he plays the game. Obviously, he was a hell of an Oriole, one of the best third basemen I've ever seen, many baseball players I've ever seen. And it's just fun to see him now. Now he's 30, 31, so he's turning into that old guy that everybody goes to and be in the resourceful. He's the leader of that team, so it's cool to see his transformation.
Adam, 2018 was a rough year for everybody and for you in particular, and it didn't end here the way you wanted it to end. How has that relationship changed in these 5 years, and why is this situation important to you?
Well, business is business. I know I said it back then, but it's really true. And I'm not the first person to exit a franchise, not the way that I guess everybody expected to. When I seen Freddie Freeman not have to go through all that stuff with the Braves, I'm like, he won a World Series. Well, I got off easy. So, you know, it's just business. You know, not everything is going to be beautiful. But I was able to play 11 years. Well, what can I gripe about? You know what I mean? I got no gripes about it. And, you know, recently, now that I'm done playing, I'm able to be involved back with baseball, with MLB, be around here. It's just easy. I mean, we're grown men. How you doing? How you been? You're not going to always see eye to eye with your employers, with people you work with. But at the end of the day, we're respectful grown men. And, you know, we can shake each other's hands and say, hey, didn't end the way we wanted to, but it's past this. Let's move on to the future and see what we can build after that.
Adam, do you see an ideal role for yourself either with this organization or in baseball, or are you kind of done with work in baseball?
Well, I work with the commissioner, an advisor under the CAP program, but anything with the Orioles, here's your man. You got to ask him.
Good start.
But obviously, I got young kids, so to be a coach, that would be a stretch because, you know, that's such a time commitment. But to be involved in a franchise would be awesome. Who wouldn't want to work for any franchise, especially a player, obviously have such roots here, who wouldn't want to work and be involved with the Major League franchise? The reach that you can have, the impact that you can have in the community and the organization, obviously it's a match made perfect, but I love what I do right now with the CAP program. I'm able to go to great events, the London Series, Mexico Series, advanced baseball with the commissioner's office. It does open me to other jobs. They said I can, now, since I'm an independent contractor. But I'm enjoying doing it. I have a very lax schedule since, again, we travel a lot. Kids are young, so I want to give as much attention, as much time as I can to them. But I still do love being around baseball, and my wife allows me to get out of her hair for a week or two to go back and watch baseball.
You were talking about the powerful ways in which the city shaped you and your family, but I think one reason why you're so remembered here is the impression you left on the community. Do you remember during your early years or first year when you sort of occurred to you that you felt like you could make an impact here in Baltimore?
I remember when I first got traded here, I told my brother, he'll be here tonight, and he was like, you know you're going to Baltimore, it's a black city. I'm like, okay. When I got here, about 2 or 3 months in 08, I met the current mayor now, Brandon Scott. And he was just a man on a mission to improve the city, one of just a young city leader. And he showed me ways that I can improve this city. And then he introduced me to the Boys and Girls Club people. He introduced me to the YMCA people. And, you know, those things are easy. Since I grew up in the Boys and Girls Club, I knew what those kids faced, the challenges. So for me, that was a shot in the bucket. Like, I understand every kid. I understand the home life of them. I understand what they go through. And me and my wife and my family, my brothers, their cousins, my mom at the time, before the kids, we helped and shaped, build, renovate 6 Boys and Girls Club around the city. And, you know, that impact goes further than that. We put community centers for the parents so that, you know, sometimes the internet's not at your house, but it allows you to maybe go fill out applications or do something that you need to do. So it wasn't just about me playing baseball here or getting kids to play baseball. It was trying to get the education out of everybody because education is key. I played baseball. I used my body to make my money, but smartest people and the richest people in the world are the minds. So that's why I preach on these kids, education, and, you know, that giving kids an opportunity to do something was just something that I got from Cliff Levingston from the Bulls. He's from the same area. He gave kids from my area and myself opportunities back in the day, and it was easy to team up with the Orioles and team up with city leaders and give other kids opportunities.
Adam, was there a moment or a time when you realized this was going to be your second home, the Orioles were going to be your hopeful lifelong franchise?
Yeah, we sat here May 25th, 2012. Remember that day? Mm-hmm. I sat in this chair, though, and we signed an extension. And I was like, well, I'm here four and a half years, now let's go another 6.5. So that day I knew that I would be cemented here for a long time. We bought a house shortly thereafter. I was renting before because I was unsure. And, that day, once that day happened, I knew that something special could be here as long as I stayed on the field, and I was able to do that. And, you know, that's why we're sitting here today, because I was able to stay on the field, stay here for such a long time, and do great things between those lines.
Adam, in 2018, you kind of saw the beginnings of this process. The organization went through the rebuild. What's it been like to see how that's paid off in the years since?
Oh, it's been amazing because I know going through one firsthand how frustrating it could be. Excuse me. But also, when you're a young player going through it, you don't really understand. You're just like, hey, I'm getting a chance to play in the major leagues. I don't care. And that's how I felt. But at the same time, ROA team had some older guys. You remember, Dan, you always tried to get me to do the Mora thing. We had some older guys who were a little angrier and would yell and things like that. But me, Markakis, Adam Lowen, we just a big group of guys were so young that we were just like, man, we're just playing, man. Let us just play. So when the rebuild happened, I understood. And also, too, that when we started to really stink in summer of 17 and again 18, I tried to let the young guys who were coming up, once we did all the trades, let them know that, you know, the big leagues is tough. Like, I'm not going to be this rude veteran to you guys. I'm going to try and explain the game in a crash course because we all going to be gone after this 2 months. So I just tried to explain to those guys how the major league life is and give them the best advice I could. And you see Cedric, Hayes, and Santander were the guys that I had, and they are leading this charge. And, you know, you hear them talk. They've been through the tough years. And to see what they have now, it's fun that they're getting to lead it. And there's nothing better than when you go through the mud and then you get out.
Adam, they've been through the tough times, but they haven't been through these times. Brandon Hyde was sitting right where you are earlier today and said, we don't have a lot of guys who've been through this. Will you talk to any of these guys? And what would you say to a group of guys who are experiencing this type of baseball at this time of year?
Well, I mean, obviously, they're major league players, so they have resources. I know a lot of these guys have resources other than myself. But I'm always an open book to anybody, whoever wants to ask me any question. I'm not going to go and invade anybody's space. I know how the major league players are. But if I'm an open book. But I think they understand it by watching it, how the game has been so commercialized in social media and TV, the media. Like, they understand. There's enough interviews, enough guys that have told and talked in archives about how tough playoffs are. One thing I'm happy about is we don't have to hear about pitch inning limits. You know, I know that was a big topic of discussion this summer. And, you know, these guys, I think they know what they have in front of them. I don't think they need somebody to tell them. I think it's right in front of them. I think the fans around the city, when these guys go to breakfast, if these guys go to lunch or dinner, I think the fans around the city are telling them how special and how special of a situation they're in. So, you know, I don't think they need outside influence. I just think they need to stay exactly what they're doing and just believe in each other, believe in that clubhouse. Anything on the outside, just don't worry about it as they've been doing and just stay focused and stay the course.
Adam, you talked about your presence on social media and keeping up with that, and now you have your podcast, which is part of the Baltimore Media Group. And how's it been for you on the other side of the microphone now to kind of have the control?
Well, yeah, there he is. Me and my co-host Jerry Coleman on the Adam Jones podcast. It's talking Baltimore sports. We want to give Mr. Elias, but we respect his time and we respect his words. He's a very, very busy man. but no, it's basically delving into to Baltimore sports. Again, if I speak to San Diego, no one's listening. If I speak to Texas, no one's listening. Speaking to Baltimore, the fans here really appreciate my insight and stories. And the Orioles have been fantastic with supplying us with guests. They've been just amazing at that. And it's different. It's obviously a different side. I got to do a little more research. I make sure that I dig up some information on the guests for the week. And it's a different side of it. It's different in Spain doing it also. It's definitely, I have to do it at like 4, middle of the day. I'm like, maybe go for a walk with the kids or something. Nah, I got to do a podcast and all that kind of stuff. But it's a different side. Again, I've always respected the media side as a player. I always ask questions to the media side. I always tried to, you know, hold court with the media, showed as much respect as I could. And now I'm on the other side. It's weird asking guys for stuff. But I've done a lot of favors for people. They're going to answer my damn call, and they're going to get on the podcast. Yeah, they're going to get on it.
You think you have a role in cultivating the next generation of Adam Jones, you know, the African-American player coming to the game, especially with the changes right now, bringing more athleticism in and things like that? You think that'll open up more doors?
Big time. I mean, what Major League Baseball is doing now with the CAP program, the Hank Aaron Invitational. There's so many young African-Americans now getting the opportunity to play. And with the Players Alliance, they are supplying kids throughout the United States with an opportunity to play. And the biggest thing that we wanted to do at the Players Alliance was not try and go take a kid that's out there shooting hoops on the basketball court and say, hey, here's a baseball glove, go play baseball, we need the numbers to go up. No, we're saying the kids that are willing and ready to play, that just don't have maybe the monetary needs or the availability, don't worry about that. You're going to be at that tournament. I did it for the team in D.C. I believe they just couldn't afford to go up to Williamsport. Nah, that's easy. Like, you have to give these kids opportunity. Doesn't matter who you are. And with the Players Alliance right now, we are doing so many great things in giving young black kids and young Latino kids and everybody, whoever wants to play, we don't care. We want kids who want to play out there on the field, and we've been doing such a terrific job at that. It's behind the scenes because obviously it's not blasted. But if you've seen in the draft, there's a lot more African Americans getting picked higher up, and it's great. The next mission though is to get that college, to get the scholarships changed. Baseball is really unfair. Was it 12.7? 11.7? It's really unfair when football gets 200. If they open that up, it opened a lot more opportunities for African Americans because, again, college is expensive. I didn't go, but I seen my friend's bills, and, yeah, those don't look too fun.
Adam, I know the night is still young. There's a lot more to be happening along the lines of this today, but how does this day feel compared to when you were here earlier in the summer and you were Mr. Splash?
Well, it's definitely different. I was in some shorts. It was hotter. I have a suit now. My kid's in a suit. Look at him going crazy. It was different. It was come in, catch the first pitch from Sanzi, be in the suite. Mrs. Grandall set up everything. It was great. Mingle, go around. Everything was fantastic. Mr. Splash, I brought the jersey today. That's my only jersey I'm wearing. I mean, so... but it was great. That was really cool to get back into Camden Yards feel that way. Obviously, the team is going good. That night was tough going against Garrett Cole. There's not a lot of offense when he pitches. It doesn't matter who it is. So it wasn't the ideal night to be Mr. Splash. That Sunday night, I believe, was like 7 runs in the first inning. That would have been the perfect. I think the governor was doing it. He had the second inning, yeah. And it's like nothing for the rest of the game.
Good scouting there by the governor. Yeah.
So, but no, it's just great to be back here. Again, it's cool for my kids to see this. They don't remember it. You know, I think they vaguely remember things going on here. But every attendant remembers them running around the clubhouses in the hallways. So it's cool for them to see this. And they're just like, yeah, everybody says, I remember you. And they're just looking at them with a blank face because they obviously have no idea who they are.